from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and we move now to focus on California and testing. California has conducted some 67,000 COVID-19 tests as of yesterday, according to Governor Newsom. He added that the state will soon get a delivery of 150,000 testing kits, but that it's still not enough, with some test results taking up to 9 days. Efforts are also underway to get results faster. We'll hear why California is still behind on testing and what's being done to test more people quickly. We're joined by Dr. Susan Phillips. She's director of San Francisco's Department of Public Health, Disease and Control Prevention Branch. Thanks for coming on Forum, Dr. Phillips.
Thank you.
We're also joined by KQED science reporter Leslie McClurg. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
So, Leslie, I know you've been talking with doctors and nurses at hospitals as well as at clinics. What are they telling you about their capacity to test? Has it improved, or are there still a lot of frustrations and concerns?
I would say it's much more of the latter, that there is a lot of frustrations and concerns. You know, especially I talk to, you know, folks who are working at low-income clinics, people who serve, I should say, low-income folks, and talk to a woman who runs the Ashby Lifelong Medical Center, and she's saying it's taking more than 7 days to test, that they have maybe 150 tests for their 65,000 patient population. So a drastic need for more testing, and they're really trying to conserve the supplies they have. They're running low on everything from the swabs to the vials, to the ice packs to send the samples. They can't order anymore. Suppliers are out of those supplies. So all along the supply chain, there is a shortage, including people to run the tests. That's one reason why getting test results is taking so long.
Well, Susan Phillips, what's the situation like in San Francisco? I mean, does San Francisco have enough test kits? Oops, I think we lost Susan Phillips for a moment. We'll try to reconnect that line. You know, Leslie, we've been hearing about so many reasons from the very beginning why we didn't have enough tests to begin with. Initially, it was that the CDC's tests were defective, and then the FDA needing to approve tests from academic or other institutions, they ultimately waived that. Then we heard from the governor that there was a lack of reagents to be able to process the tests. I mean, is that the situation now? Is that why we're seeing a 9-day delay in some cases in getting results?
I think absolutely. I mean, there aren't enough tests around. You know, we didn't have enough tests in the beginning. It was very slow to get those tests rolled out. And now, because it's such a mishmash, you know, system, we've got some hospitals making tests, private labs coming online, the CDC issuing tests. It's not a coordinated system. It never, unfortunately, was a coordinated system. And all along the way, you know, as your last guest pointed to, there's been mistakes. And so those mistakes, you know, domino effect down the line to the point, like I said just now, this doctor that I talked to, you know, they're using throat swabs, which is a much more painful process than a nasal swab, to collect specimens from patients because they've simply run out of swabs. So if you're running out of swabs, you can imagine down the line where you've got these, you know, machines that need to run the genetic material. Swabs to machines, we are running low on supplies. So the problem is all along the way.
And I understand, Dr. Phillips, we have you back with us. Susan Phillips, are you there?
Yes, I am here, yes.
Great. I was curious what the situation is like in San Francisco. I mean, does San Francisco have enough test kits, and are they being processed efficiently?
Yeah, I think I want to take a step back. I think that'll be good to talk about where we've come. It seems like a long time, but we really have only had testing for a few weeks. So March 2nd was the first day that initial tests were run in San Francisco at our Department of Public Health Laboratory. And that is the role of public health laboratories, to be among the first to run novel tests for communicable diseases to protect public health. But we know all along that the role of the public health laboratory, although it is to be first, it cannot be the only site that's testing. It doesn't have capacity to test everyone in the city. So what we saw in short order was that some of the large commercial laboratories and academic laboratories also started coming on board with testing. So we have come a really long way in terms of partners and capacity in the system in San Francisco for testing. But, you know, as you're hearing, there is a very large demand for testing and shortages and challenges with ramping up the testing to the level we would like. So it's much improved, and we are getting better ways also to measure how it's improving. but it is not yet where we would like it to be or need it to be in order to control infections with COVID-19.
Well, this listener, Susan, writes, and again, if you'd like to ask questions of our guest, the number 866-733-6786. You can also get us on Facebook, Twitter at KQED Forum, or email questions to forum@kqed.org. Susan writes, why are we testing the sick rather than those who are asymptomatic? I mean, Susan Phillip, what are the criteria for getting tests right now in San Francisco?
Well, I want to clarify that there is no recommendation nationally at the state level or in San Francisco to test asymptomatic people. And really, the criteria are people who have symptoms of cough, shortness of breath, or fever, which most of us know right now are the symptoms of COVID-19. For people who have mild symptoms as well, if they are able to stay home and they feel generally well, not everyone has to be tested. You know, in an ideal world, if we were able to easily get testing to everyone that was accurate or have everyone be able to access that, then that would be a great thing to do. But people who may not get a test, if they have symptoms that might be compatible or cold symptoms, they probably need to act as if they do have COVID-19 and stay home until their symptoms fully resolve and the fever goes away.
Yes. That said, we did hear the governor and others talking about the need to begin random testing, right, of the community to really determine the percentage of the population that has COVID-19 and the people who do not, just to get a better sense of its, you know, its fatality rate and other things so that, you know, you can allocate resources, preventative measures, you know, in a more targeted way. Dr. Phillip. So the hope is that that ultimately is what we'll get, correct? And again, I think we may have lost the line with Dr. Phillip. I'm sorry to hear that. And Leslie McClurg, maybe you can respond to that question, because there is also this other level of testing besides just knowing who has it, but also knowing who doesn't have it.
Absolutely. I think in a perfect world, just as Dr. Phillip mentioned, that is what we would like to do, is just get out there and actually find out who has the test. Unfortunately, with limited supplies, you know, that's just not a reality. I think the other thing to remember at this point, it would be great to know where those hot spots are so that we can get a better handle on trying to, you know, quarantine people. But given that we're all, you know, staying home anyways, at this point, we really are just mitigating and not isolating. We're already trying to isolate. We've already gone almost to the most extreme measures, you know, except for maybe beyond ticketing people for leaving their house. We really are trying to just stay home. So knowing the number of cases out there is great information and could help us for sure. But right now, we really all just need to stay home, because that's the only measure left, really. And we have to think about this, too. For those people who are just dying to know whether or not they have COVID-19, you know, that information is sort of like, if you have the flu, you want to know, you're not probably going to go get tested for the flu unless you're really, you know, need hospital care. So at this point, staying home is your best option to slow the spread of the disease.
And let me go to caller Elaine in San Francisco. Hi, Elaine.
First of all, I love KQED and NPR. You are my go-to place for information.
Well, I just love you guys.
Okay, so now my question is about testing and my comment is about testing. It seems to me that there was very little planning at a federal level about this, and it's a cascading effect. In order to do testing, the people who administer the test have to have the personal protective equipment to wear. Anthony Fauci made that clear, I believe, last week. Secondly, if you do not test, we know that asymptomatic people can pass the virus. So, and we've got the federal government, and your guest just said there's no recommendation to test asymptomatic people. But asymptomatic people can spread the virus. So there's a, if you don't test those folks, they can be spreading. And on top of that, you don't, they contribute to the data set that you need in order to know what's going on in the nation, in the state, in the community, so that you can plan effectively. So this, saying in a perfect world we would have this, we can make this more perfect if there is planning and manufacture of the equipment and testing that we need in order to face something like this. And we knew that this kind of thing was going to happen. This was not a surprise. We knew.
Well, Elaine, thanks. It's an important comment. You mentioned you had a question. Do you have a question as well, or
yeah.
would you like to let that stand?
Well, what do we do then? What do we do now in order to deal with this rather than just putting a smiley face on it and saying, well, in a perfect world, and y'all should just stay home? There's got to be something better than that.
Dr. Phillip?
I completely agree that we need to be able to do more. And I want to emphasize that our capacity to do testing in San Francisco, throughout California, and nationally is increasing every day and every week as we get more and more what we call high-throughput testing machines that are able to test large numbers of samples at one time. The most important thing, though, that we are needing to do as individuals and as a city and continue to do is this social distancing. And this idea is that, yes, it is correct that we don't know exactly the extent to which people who may have very low-level symptoms can spread. We need to be able to keep people as separate from each other as possible during this period of shelter in place in San Francisco. We need to, and in California, we need to make sure that we decrease the acceleration of virus transmission. I want to point out that what we're seeing now with the case numbers really reflects transmission from 2 weeks ago. So we won't see the full impact of what we're doing for another week or so. We are bracing our health systems and our testing for really what might be increases to come. We're looking at New York City and New York State, and we are really trying to prepare California to not have that same level of impact. But it certainly could happen. And I think testing is increasing, but the rate of virus transmission is faster than we can get new tests online. So it's up to each one of us to really take shelter in place seriously, to limit our interactions with other people, and to follow the recommendations that are our best chance right now of limiting further damage from coronavirus.
And Susan Phillip, what's the likelihood that San Francisco could have walk-up or drive-through testing sites to try to diminish strain on the hospitals? I know they're up at Hayward and in Marin, but the recommendation is that would really be helpful in terms of relieving hospitals.
Yes, I think we are looking into doing that and partnering with health systems to do that. And we understand in San Francisco, because of just the population density and the city density, drive-up is not accessible for everyone. Not everyone has a car, but there are other ways in which we can try to have walk-up sites, et cetera, and to do that in a way that doesn't increase transmission risk to the people waiting in line or to the people doing the testing. But I completely agree with the callers that have said that is a great model. It reduces the use of the personal protective equipment because there's minimal contact. And so it's a great model that we're looking into and going to be doing more of.
And this listener wants to know, how sensitive are the tests? Can you test negative yet be positive a day later from the same exposure?
I think that the tests are very sensitive. I do want to caution, I think that point is really important, that the tests are, if a test is negative, it doesn't tell us anything about ongoing exposure. So again, this is really why the message of, really stay as separate from other people as you can is important. These tests are what are called nucleic acid amplification tests. They're molecular tests, and so they're very, very sensitive. And if they're positive, they're quite accurate. But the negativity really depends on, are we still continuing to interact with other people who may have low-level symptoms and not really realize that they might be infectious. So there are limitations to the test, and we can act in ways that also increase our chances of trying to reduce transmission between each other.
Well, Susan in Oakland on the line, join us. Hi, Susan, are you there? And I think our phone lines might be a little locked today. Well, Robert writes, I saw an interview with a doctor from Kaiser in San Jose who said their COVID-19 test results turnaround time is 2 to 5 days. I've also heard that the test results turnaround time in China and South Korea is about 15 minutes. Why hasn't the U.S. been able to drastically reduce the results turnaround time for the tests run here? I mean, Leslie McClurg, so much as you mentioned is this sense that we don't have like a national coordinated rollout of tests. These are different companies, different institutions producing different tests with different needs, right?
Exactly. And we also don't have a nationally coordinated healthcare system. So South Korea, some of these other countries were better set up to, distribute supplies, to run tests, to get information moving because their systems aren't already a mishmash as our systems are. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right now is a reflection also of our healthcare system.
And our producer is telling me, Dr. Phillip, that Susan from Oakland was asking about why we can't do mail-in testing. Is mail-in testing on the horizon?
You know, it is not. It is not on the horizon yet. But I think we need to be thinking about all options and trying to find out if there are ways of doing that. There are no FDA sort of approved collection at home test kits yet. But I know that they have a strong interest in doing that. And I have my understanding just from reading the FDA site and hearing what they say is that they're working very collaboratively with those types of companies to see if that could be an option into the future.
Well, just leave us in our last 10 seconds with your just final message about testing, as there are so many concerned Californians about the state of it here.
We need to improve testing. It is improving every day and every week, and we are prioritizing for fast turnaround the people that are sickest, the first responders, the healthcare workers. So if you are mildly ill and you don't think that you need medical care, you might be best off staying home, and let's preserve the medical system by doing the social isolation and distancing that we've all been hearing about.
Dr. Susan Phillip with the San Francisco Department of Public Health and Leslie McClurg of KQED Science. Thanks both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And another Hour of Forum is next. Stay with us. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.